Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome in, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and off we go. Good Wednesday morning. Here we are. And raise your hand if you saw Jose Altuve hit a grand slam to win a game. Anybody, raise your hand if you saw Jose Altuve. Raise your hand now if you went to bed right before Jose Altuve hit a grand slam.
Raise your hand if you left in the fourth quarter of the Atlanta Falcons, New England Patriots. The greatest comeback in Super Bowl history because you're going to beat the rush from parking so you could get to your show in the morning. Raise your hand. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's me. My hand's raised again.
Your hand is raised.
Yeah. After Correa's home run, I was like, all right, I'm going to bed. I'm going to go lay down and go to bed. I was thinking about going in there because my wife is already asleep, about trying to watch the sound off the Astros. And I was just, for whatever reason, I was really tired. And then my kids, I don't even know what time it must have been because I'd barely fallen asleep. Probably about 11, maybe?
Yeah, it was late. It was a long game.
It wasn't the next inning?
What?
It wasn't the 10th?
It was the 10th. What do you mean? Yeah, it was the 10th inning.
Okay, so it was the next inning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, because it was already like 10:30 whenever I went to bed, or 10:40.
Yeah, it was a long game.
So, yeah, wow, that was a long game. For being a low-scoring game, that was a long game. It was low-scoring until Jose Altuve hit the walk-off grand slam. But, yeah, the kids barged in, and so I went to sleep happy. I went to sleep happy knowing that James got a little closer to a ring, and we'll get to that in a second. And I went to bed happy knowing that the good guys pulled one off. They pulled one off with a Correa home run, and then they pulled in the ninth inning to tie it up. Two outs and two strikes. A 2-2 count. Correa goes opposite field with a firm home run. And, just, you know, we're getting to the point now where if Carlos keeps hitting like this, which is, this is how we always envisioned him, is being this player. And it's kind of a shame that it's happening. You know, he came up in the league 15, and now it's 21. But this is what we always envisioned.
Yeah.
I think I speak for everyone in Houston.
Yeah.
The great defensive player, the you know, the face of a franchise, the swagger, and then a guy with pop, a guy who was clutch. Like, Carlos is doing it all right now. He's checking all the boxes that we wanted for him, and it is kind of painful knowing that that is going to leave the city.
Non-pitchers in WAR leaders, wins above replacement. This is a pretty good stat.
What are you doing to affect a win?
Yes. Non-pitcher. Vlad Guerrero is number one. He's unbelievable. He has been just stupid. It's not a great stat because Jacob deGrom is the greatest pitcher maybe in the history of the game, and he's seventh on this list.
How many wins do they have?
Well,
does that have an effect, I guess?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like he's pitching in Little League, and he's like the most dominant pitcher in the league. It is stupid how good Jacob deGrom is. And they got Brandon Woodruff, number one. Zach Wheeler, number two. Vlad Guerrero, that's the first non-pitcher. He's tied for second. Then Kyle Gibson, who the Astros faced yesterday, and he's fourth. Max Muncy is on this list at number six. Marcus Semien is number eight. And Carlos Correa is tied with Gerrit Cole and John Means at number nine. So Carlos Correa is one of the great players in the game. He's ahead of Tatis. He's ahead of Betts. He's one of the great. Now, people have different WAR. This one is wins above replacement by Major League MLB. This is by ESPN. But there are different standards for WAR.
In baseball, it's a pretty standard. It's a pretty standard definition.
No, people have different ones. There are different ones. And so
are you
this
sure?
Is yes. I know it because there's one B WAR. There's one.
Well, no, but
that's
WAR,
Baseball References WAR, and then there's one that's.
But WAR is a standard definition. B WAR is something different. WAR.
No, B WAR is Baseball References.
Right. That's
WAR.
Why it's different.
Right.
WAR is a stat. It's just like yards after catch. That is a stat. WAR is a stat. It's plugged in. I can give you the formula, but you'd be bored by it. There's a separate one for pitcher and a separate one for hitter. But WAR is a standard stat. People may try to, you know, just like a QB rating is a standard stat, ESPN tried to do their own. But the QB rating right. is the QB rating. That's the ESPN tried to do their own. Maybe Baseball Reference tried to trick it out a little bit. But it shows you, basically it's meant to show you the value of a player in terms of creations of runs through defense, base running, fielding, you know, hitting and all that, over a replacement player, over right. another player in a
right.
you know, and Carlos Correa, it is something that analytics looks at very strongly. And it is something that Carlos Correa is having a major impact on the Houston Astros. When they win, Carlos Correa has a major impact on that.
Right.
A major impact.
Well, there are different formulas, but neither here nor there. Neither here nor there. Carlos Correa is now playing, like you said, he is now what we thought when the number one pick, when he was the number one overall pick in baseball, he is that guy today. And he's doing it under the duress of having to play for a contract. And you know what? Here's the deal with Carlos Correa. Postseason, big games, what and now for contract, Carlos Correa, the more pressure that you put on him, the better he is. Two outs in the ninth inning kind of pressure.
It's what he does. I mean, it's what he's
unbelievable.
Always done.
He is, you know what? I hate to say it, Bajan Bags and that whole, but all of those early 2000, late 90s teams and early 2000, he's the opposite of that. He is the exact opposite of that. He can't have too much pressure on. He can't have enough pressure on him. He needs that kind of pressure. He thrives on it. He is fantastic. I thought it was a huge mistake what he was doing, and he can't be more right. And he's going to get, now, what behind the scenes, they're talking Machado money.
That's $300
million. $300 over 10 years.
That's what the last two shortstops got. He's getting it too, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, your shortstop, Carlos Correa, is going to get it. We can keep acting like the market isn't going to bear that. Market's going to bear it. NFTs go for $11 million. Carlos Correa is going to go for $300 million. Now, how they structure it, I don't know. Are they going to go to 10 years? Are they going to go to 14 years? All you need is three desperate teams. And it's going to be on. Two might get it done. But 300 is going to be his number. If he doesn't get it, then it'll be like 280.
He's
10 years, $28 million a year.
That's the case. I couldn't have been more wrong. He bet on himself. Love it. And you know what? He just means it just means all good things for the Houston Astros. Because he steps up last night, two outs in the ninth inning. And they couldn't hit. They had such a tough time with Kyle Gibson. And then the bullpen. And here's another Rangers. You're like, oh, we're staring another Rangers loss in the face. And, you know, now you're 2.5 games behind now. And you're going to fall to 3 games behind. And he steps up and says, oh, no, not tonight. Not on my watch. He didn't say I'm not on my watch. But he did give the ear thing. How about the face he made at the dugout? He was like,
yeah,
this is what I
well,
do.
That's his.
This is what I do, people.
Yeah,
this is what I do. And then Altuve steps up with the bases loaded and hits the grand slam to win the game. Just fantastic. Talk about and after it looked like Presley was getting out of the 10th and gives up that. If Bregman was a half an inch taller, that no run scores.
Right.
And the Astros could have easily won that game, but instead, he just goes off his glove. And they score the run, but the Astros offense comes through in the 10th. Just a great game. Good baseball. Really good baseball. Great pitching by both sides. McCullers looked good.
He got, you know, later on, he only made it 4 1/3, ended up with 3 walks. I thought his control looked good early in the game in the first 3 innings. And then he had one of those innings where they hit him a little bit hard. Have you noticed? I can't be the only one who's noticed this. That arm angle has really dropped from early in his career, right? I mean, he comes from a three-quarter angle now. That's how he throws. That's got to be because he used to be a little bit higher with it because his breaking pitch used to be more 12-6, and now it's much more of the slider-type breaking pitch. But his arm slot just looks a lot lower than it used to be.
Yeah, I don't know. You're a shoulder expert. I'm not.
Well, I mean, that's a basic one. I remember I was at his second game where he wasted the Baltimore Orioles. Remember that game? He'd come up.
His second ever game? No.
I think it was the second ever. He had like 13 strikeouts. 13 strikeouts in 6 innings, something like that. I mean, he absolutely – annihilated him. I remember Dwight Howard was at the game wearing some goofy big Astros foam hat, and he just was so dominant. But Lance Berkman's curveball used to be more the you know top to bottom of the zone curveball, the 12-6. Now he's kind of changed it. He's altered his pitching style.
Well, you have to now because you don't have the rosin. And
you know. Yeah, that's right. You don't have that anymore. But no, Lance McCullers on my podcast before last year, before the pandemic season, he did talk about how the arm injury he had, they changed some ways about his delivery so that it would be less torque on the arm and things like that. So maybe that was one of the things. But all I know is that he did look really good for most of his outing. And I think maybe even more importantly, Jake Odorizzi had a nice outing. He was
so we found out he can come out of the bullpen.
Last I checked, he can pitch out of the bullpen.
Yeah. Now we'll see how he bounces back. Now I don't think they're going to use him now because he's going to pitch again on Tuesday. So they're going to give him his rest.
Have you noticed how long it's been since when Javier does one of his four-inning deals, he's done this twice, they give him almost too long to where it's like, wow, this is like he's a starting pitcher. They give him more than five games.
It could now last longer. We don't know. We don't know how long it's going to last. I mean, so if you get good outings out of – you may not see Christian Javier for how long.
Well, that's a problem to me because you need to stay on your schedule. It's like a runner who's not running distance – and you get less, you're less able to do it. He's working less innings and less days now.
Right. Well, I think the thought was here. I mean, that would have been a perfect position for Odorizzi for Javier to come in, but they had to get Odorizzi in there, because so he could stay on his schedule of starts and get his get his work in. And you'll see Javier. Either tonight or tomorrow night.
Javier's pitched two times in the month of June.
Yeah.
That's not much. What's today?
It's not enough.
June 16th?
So he pitched
June 3rd. He pitched March 28th, June 3rd, June 9th.
So
I mean, we're on 7 days.
So doesn't that fly in the face of your don't go to six-man rotation? Because look how, when you do go to the bullpen, look how infrequently you get used.
Well, I think they're infrequently using him for a reason.
Well, he's throwing four when he comes in.
And that's why I think they're treating it like a start.
Yeah.
So they're keeping him on a five day rotation, and then it needs to be a situation where he gets in the game. But at this point, they really need to throw him today. Like he really need, unless they have plans for him as a starter, we're talking about this is gonna be the seventh day. He needs to get out on the mound and throw. And granted, he's got bullpen sessions or whatever, but he needs to get out there and get the pitch count worked out a little bit and get the arm, and get the arm worked back up. Because 7 days is a long time for a starter not to have a start.
Yeah.
And that's what he still is, really. I mean, he's a starter who's in the bullpen.
We've got all kinds of stuff to talk about, including the Fox reporter. It's interesting. I can tell you that. We'll play some of that. We have Tyler Glasnow. That's interesting.
That's more interesting than that Fox reporter.
Well, there's some interesting things that she said, but not nearly as interesting as Tyler Glasnow. I'll give you that.
I think the most interesting, though, is that the Nets got a step closer. But what happened in that game yesterday is worthy of conversation. Charles Barkley had some sound. We got some Charles Barkley sound. Charles.
Yep.
Spoke like a man who lost money. I've been there before where you let things get irrational and it sounds personal. When it gets personal like that, somebody owes you money, Charles versus the Rockets, or somebody cost you money, Charles versus the Bucks. Right. So we've got some Charles sound coming up.
I didn't bet on the Bucks at all. And I was like, yeah, he's right.
Yeah.
What they're doing, what they did, he's correct about. And I had no money on them.
What an interesting game. And James had himself an interesting game. We got a lot to talk about. But right now we're talking about Rockets basketball because that's more pertinent here. How about that you get 10 tickets for $100? You could use two tickets to five games. You could take one group of 10 to one game. You can get 10 tickets for 10 different games, however you want to do it. You're going to be able to choose from 25 games when the schedule gets released. If the Rockets end up with a top four draft pick, they'll even throw in a swingman jersey for your purchase. How about that? A Swingman jersey on top of it, on top of 10 tickets for $100. This is the best deal. You don't find $10 tickets in the NBA. So this is a great deal. How about getting this for Dad for Father's Day? That's coming up here. So how about you take Dad? You get two tickets to five games with Dad, and you get to spend time. You get him a Father's Day gift. It was $100. Dad, look what I spent on you. And get him a Swingman jersey. All of these things. Make sure you do it before the deal is gone, because they will run out of these tickets. So go to Rockets.com. That's a great Father's Day gift. Rockets.com. That's Rockets.com.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Houston is all systems go. We love our Astros in Houston.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Long fly ball, deep right field. Correa has tied it up. Carlos Correa. A two-strike, two-out, home run, bottom of the ninth to keep the Astros alive. Altuve drives one, deep to left field. Martino, look at it, that's gone! A walk-off slam, Jose Altuve!
Are you serious? Guess what, TK? I might be a little more than tingly.
Wow. Yeah, baby. That was fun. That's good, clean fun for the whole family. And who saw it and who went to bed? Two different people. I mean, you could be this close to someone and be that much different than someone.
And while John taunts Lance, I want to let everyone know that's brought to you by AT&T Sportsnet. It's kind of the thing you have to do. Credit the people.
Charlie does that for us.
But that's a different time. And
it doesn't matter.
Show.
Charlie does that later. Altuve. Don't worry. I promise he's going to say, and that was Todd Callis
you know,
and Jeff Blum.
Altuve is one of the league leaders over the last X amount of games and home runs, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really.
No, he's.
Those two guys are whacking the ball lately.
Who's not whacking the ball lately? Alex Bregman.
Yeah, Bregman has not been good. But you just don't notice it because they're, you know, but that's baseball, though. Other guys pick you up.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
That's how it's supposed to be. Instead of hyper-focusing on the bad guys, we talk about the good ones, and then the other guy has a chance to come back. Yep. I mean, Bregman is known as a guy who's a slow starter, typically. He got off to a little better start this year, and then right now he's in a doldrums, for sure. Yep. This is not the same Alex Bregman.
It's just baseball.
Yeah, but it's, you know, ultimately it's about wins and losses, and the Astros are picking up wins, and they're doing it in that fashion, and you're going to have some ups and downs, and, you know, I'm much less concerned about Alex Bregman. Bregman will be fine. I'm not worried about him at all. The bullpen will be the factor, and then how they manipulate and use these pitchers, that's going to be the key. So Astros win yesterday, come from behind win in the ninth inning, and then beyond, actually, as they pick up the W in the 10th. Speaking of come from behind victories, the Nets at one point down 17. And this was with James Harden. James Harden was upgraded from doubtful to questionable in the middle of the afternoon. And once that happened, people started to guess that he would be playing. And he did indeed play. We didn't necessarily see signs of injury. I mean, he looked like he was playing the same James Harden way. For the most part, but he lacked confidence.
Well, he looked like James Harden in an elimination game.
That's what he looked like. Mm. I mean, he was bricking big time. 0 of 8 from the three-point line.
It's awful.
He had, what did he end up with, 5 points?
He was 1 for 10 from the field, 5 points.
5 points. And James was truly terrible yesterday. Turnovers. At one point, he jumped up trying to create a foul from about 36 feet away, doing one of his, you know, he thought he was going to get fouled and try to shoot a three-pointer. They didn't call it, so he turned and landed and then called timeout. And they're like, no, that's a travel, James. I'm sorry, you just traveled. And that was late in the fourth quarter where he did that. He had a play where he's not looking at the ball. It hits him in the back of the neck on a pass from from James was awful. James looked like a player. Defensively, it was old school James. No effort at all, except he did have a good low post defensive effort against Giannis.
It's a guy who
Giannis got a miss.
It's a guy who shouldn't have been playing. Look, I mean,
he really shouldn't have been playing.
And he played 46 minutes, but Steve Nash rode his two stars, and rightfully so, if Kevin Durant would get into his performance. James Harden should not have been playing.
He would have been better
night.
Off if he had somebody else in the game.
Yeah, I'm saying James Harden should not have been playing.
No, and this is what I thought the best move would be. You try to win that game with Durant and others stepping up, and if you don't do it, then you bring James back for a game six. James looked like a player who'd been out of basketball for a good month, like a month of injury. You really wouldn't know that it's been since just the first game of this series. James looked like he had been out of basketball for a full month. He looked rusty. He didn't look confident. But you know what? It didn't matter because a former Longhorn in Kevin Durant and then a former Rocket, longtime Rocket in Jeff Green, stepped up.
Which former Rocket is going to help the Nets to the championship?
Yeah. Maybe it's Jeff Green.
It's Jeff Green.
Because Jeff Green yesterday, I remember last year as a Rocket, like, wow, man, I kind of like Jeff Green. I didn't know this Jeff Green even existed. That Jeff Green from the Rockets playoff run last year showed up and manifested in Brooklyn with 7 of 8 from the three-point line. He missed his last three. That was the only miss he had from three. He was 7 of 7 at one point. Jeff Green was incredible. And we knew, we talked about it, to win, Kevin Durant's got to have a monster game, and somebody has to step up. Maybe it's Joe Harris. Maybe it's Brown. Somebody's got to step up. Well, it turns out it's Green. I had the wrong color. It's not Brown. It's Green. And Green stepped up with 7 threes in a monster performance, and his day got started by trying to yak on Robin Lopez, and then out of nowhere, Giannis comes over and basically pins it against the backboard. And I thought, uh-oh, that's a bad look for Green. And Green comes down the next possession and tries to dunk on Lopez again and got fouled. But that was how aggressive Jeff Green was yesterday. He was looking for a shot. He was taking it. He was hitting. But the story was Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant put on a show that was truly phenomenal. And when James Harden flipped out 37, 38 feet from the basket late in the shot clock and just flung it to Durant, like, here, you do something with the clock winding down. Durant took a pull-up three.
It was.
That basically won the game.
Yeah.
Like, that was the big difference in the game at that point.
He was unbelievable. I mean,
and
I know
was inside
Dream Shake.
That's a listener, by the way.
Yeah, Dream Shake is in love with KD, and I'm sure that love was all over the room last night because he just loves him some KD, and KD was unbelievable. He put that team on his back, though, and he destroyed all the Bucks' hopes and dreams. Giannis, down the stretch, with 4:14 left in a three-point game, that pull-up three, that's not exactly what you were looking for.
Nope.
You know, he's unbelievable, and he did make a couple. He did, you know, he can shoot threes, so I'm not going to fault him. But him losing that ball in the lane with just a couple minutes left in the game in a two-point game was just a killer when Middleton is driving.
How about Middleton's sweet shot the time before where he tried to isolate? And I mean, Chris Middleton kind of irritates me at times. He plays, I think he's a good teammate, but he plays so far. I shouldn't say he plays outside the design of the offense. I think that the offense is designed for Chris Middleton, for Middleton, Holiday. It's basically Middleton, Holiday, and Giannis. Those are the only guys allowed to shoot and score. If anything else happens, it's purely coincidental or on accident or somebody's wide open. But
15 seconds left, that drop by Antetokounmpo
was a killer.
It was
huge. But Middleton's miss where he hit the top of the backboard, he said he was fouled. Maybe he got fouled. When you're in the baseline, when you're on the baseline and you take a shot that hits the top of the backboard or the side of the backboard, that probably wasn't a great possession.
No. They had a lot of
up. They were tied up. There was a chance to take a lead.
They had a lot of bad possessions. And Charles talked about you're right. Charles Barkley here.
This is the sound of a man who, and I've been there before, when you lose a bet and a team has cost you. And remember, this team was up 17 and they were laying 2.5 points. When you lose money, you have a certain sound to you.
This is what it sounds like.
To lose that game, to have that. Like, you could tell they were going to lose the game at halftime.
Well, should the coaching staff eat too?
You know my rule about saying people should get fired. I don't think it's our job to say somebody should get fired. But, you know, Ernie, you go back. When you do dumb stuff and it works, you keep doing dumb stuff. You sit there, when they were doing dumb stuff in game one and game two, you're like, well, that's how they play, Chuck. I'm like, so? They're killing them in the paint, but they're going to keep jacking up threes. Just because that's how they play. You played to, like Herm Edwards said, you played to win the game. And that was one of the dumbest games. And, man, I am so mad right now because they got a bunch of really good guys, and they played dumb, and they deserve to lose that game. And, hey, shout out to Kevin Durant and Jeff Green. But, man, the other team had something to do with it. That was awful basketball.
To be fair to Chuck, he did say this at half when the Bucks are leading.
Supposed to be an aggressive. But I got to say this about the Milwaukee Bucks. I think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to win the world championship. I really do. But they got to be the dumbest team. They make between stupid fouls and bad shots, not taking advantage of mismatches.
Can I go there? Because that's where I'm going.
So he had them as dumb when they're up by double digits. So I think he's consistently thinking they're dumb.
Yeah. No. Well, I think we got that. Charles thinks they're dumb. And Charles is right. Listen, that wasn't a must-win game for them, though. It was a must-win game for the Nets.
Certainly. It's just rough.
They can still win this series.
Correct, but you had a chance to not have to make another trip to Brooklyn. You're up by double digits at the half with a hampered James Harden, who, look, obviously he was terrible, but I put that more on. That guy didn't want to do anything to aggravate that hamstring. He wasn't explosive. Didn't he ever drive to the rim in the game?
He was a detriment to the team.
Yeah, Mike James should have been playing.
Listen, yeah, if Mike James plays, they probably win that game by 10, 12 points. It was because he kept the Bucks in the game.
Yeah, he was awful. So Steve Nash, I guess, will get credit for playing KD 48 minutes because KD said, I'm not leaving. But you're playing James Harden and he's a detriment. They had a chance not to have to face Brooklyn in the game 7. And we know Kyrie, that looked awful, but we also thought James wasn't going to play in game 5, and he found a way to get in the game. So who knows? They offered up a chance to get Kyrie back in the series.
I just know that Charles definitely lost money. Charles is a known gambler. Charles definitely lost money on Milwaukee. 729 here on the show. What am I talking about, Dell? What do you want me to talk about?
If you want to talk about, you know, fixing up a patio, that'd be great.
Oh, Stephen Schell is the owner of Texas Custom Patios. You know, I knew when I met Stephen, I'd actually seen him before. And I was like, man, where have I seen this guy? And it turns out I used to run pickup games against him up at the YMCA. He was a whippersnapper up there. He'd been working. He worked there. I mean, that's where he was. He was like a youth counselor. And so we used to play ball way back in the day up there. I recognized him. And he could play a little bit. He could definitely play a little bit. Now, what he does now is he'll stick in some pickup games, but he's really busy with building and constructing and designing the very best patios in the state of Texas. They win awards. This isn't just me talking. They win awards year after year after year. And you can go to the website and check it out for yourself at TexasCustomPatios.com. What you're going to see there are before and after shots, and I think it's important to see that because when you see before and after, you can see what your house could look like. They've done so many backyards, so many designs that you will probably see work that no matter what your house is, how expensive it is, how much room you have, that will resemble your backyard. And what they can transform it into is truly amazing. They did it for me. They can do it for you. They turn your house into a home. And they add so much value. Right now with housing prices going up and up, something like a brand new patio from Texas Custom Patio, it's going to more than pay for itself when it comes to differentiating on the market when it comes time to sell your home. TexasCustomPatios.com. Stop in at the website and get a free consultation today.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now. Do it. Do it. Do it now.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. I went over and saw Michael over at Pete's, and Todd's going over there today, as a matter of fact. But you guys got to keep on listening, because tomorrow we want to do I think we're going to do a Father's Day thing where Michael wants to give away $100 in meat for Father's Day. So keep on listening here, and we're going to do it. I went and got, listen, I would do it all in those hamburgers he has. They're the best burger I think I've ever had.
Best steaks I've ever had.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. So he wants to do, he'll do a big brisket for you or whatever, however you want to do it, with a $100 gift certificate. So you just keep on listening. He's unbelievable.
Put it towards a Wagyu brisket or Wagyu steak. He's got that too. Mm-hmm. He's got Wagyu steak available, and it's, we got some the other day. It's so marbled. It was unlike anything that I have ever made myself. You can get it in restaurants, but I mean, you can always buy them yourself. I've never seen it this marbled. It was unbelievable. So, yeah, I mean, that's been our guy for a long time. One of the best butchers. One of the great people here in Houston. I love Michael. He's Richmond Rosenberg. You know that, right? My dad, I think my dad coached him. He was a football player, and my dad was coaching at Lamar Consolidated back in the day. So he's even got Uhl's Beef Jerky. If you're from Richmond Rosenberg and you're listening, that's right. He's got Uhl's Beef Jerky now with no pit bulls and trucks chasing after you at a party.
Yeah.
That's just something I've seen one time at a little kegger in high school. The Uhl brothers used to roll up in the pickup truck, and you knew, like, you probably had the equivalent in Chicago. When there was, because in Richmond Rosenberg, you have families. Like, there's the Tomans or the Uhls, or there's families. And so when these were the rough, like, rowdy, these were the rowdy boys. And when they showed up at a party, it was like, okay, I don't want to interact personally, but I've seen it, like, they're the type that will just get into fights, and it's fun to them to fight. Like, sometimes they'll fight with their friends, like a full-on fist fight. Now, obviously, this was years ago. But, you know, and then when pit bull started getting introduced as, like, just sitting in trucks, just kind of menacing. That was a little nerve-wracking. But the Uhls make great beef jerky, and they had the first system. And I've told this story before. This is the group. And Michael's got... This family still makes beef jerky. That's why I'm mentioning this. And it's at Michael's. It's at Pete's Fine Meats. We used to have guys at school who had these brown paper sacks, and they were like slinging beef jerky out of their brown paper sacks. You would spend basically your lunch money on this Uhl beef jerky at school. They would sling that, and cinnamon toothpicks were the two things that you could get. Cinnamon toothpicks,
so
Uhl beef jerky.
Growing up in L.A., and me growing up in Chicago, did you ever have guys rolling up in their pickup trucks slinging beef jerky?
Yeah, probably didn't have that.
No.
You know what state you're in now, though, don't you?
Because beef jerky wasn't really something people slung where I came
because,
from.
Yeah, you just go to the store and get to buy some if you
in
want
fact,
some.
No, even, you didn't find this beef jerky at stores.
You know, no, of course you did find this beef jerky because it was here.
You can find it now, Pete's Fine Meats. It's still there.
And in fact, I live in a state now, and I'm not buying beef jerky from the back of a pickup truck.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
You're
I'm
not
gonna,
buying
I'm
homemade
probably,
beef jerky.
I'm probably just gonna.
It is.
I just go to Buc-ee's and
but
get
craft beer is okay. I know you
spicy.
Don't drink craft beer.
No,
this is craft beef jerky.
I'll just take the
craft burgers, craft beer. Everything craft is great until beef jerky. Nah, that's
just,
how I know you aren't.
I'll just take
steak.
The spicy beef jerky
that's
from
how
Buc-ee's.
You are gonna get your
steak. So I'm just gonna buy it at a store.
Yeah,
you know where I know that there's probably health codes and stuff.
Store.
Yeah, Buc-ee's has great beef jerky.
Yeah, I'll get it at the store.
They have the spicy beef jerky that I like.
Yeah.
I'll just go there.
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
Oh, so not from Pete's Fine Meats. You'll just
go
from the store.
I'll do it from Pete's.
Way to go.
Yeah,
it's a store.
Pete's.
But I'm just not buying it off the back of someone's
truck.
Yeah,
somebody off the pickup truck. No. We're going to not do that.
It's now in a big-ass jar at Pete's Fine Meats.
Now,
I can get that.
If you want some super shot from my cousin's basement, now that's another story.
Yeah, now all of a sudden it changes.
Now.
Yeah, now it changes.
With all the super shot hanging in the basement.
I don't even
know.
Yeah, that's healthy.
Yeah, that's healthy. Yeah, no. You want to talk about some good eating there.
Yeah, now the opinion changes.
Super shot. So let's talk a little bit about... Pro Football Talk, Mike Florio, he is none too pleased with the NFL, and he's right. As explained a few weeks back, the league has broad discretion to decide whether to utilize the commissioner-exempt list for Deshaun Watson, even in the absence of formal criminal charges. If the investigation causes Roger Goodell to believe that Watson may have violated the personal conduct policy by engaging in a felony offense, a crime of violence, or a sexual assault by force, Goodell can place Watson on paid leave. Whether Goodell has or hasn't come to that conclusion, it's only fair that Goodell come to some conclusion before training camp starts. He will have had more than 4 months to make a decision as to whether Watson may have violated the policy. For the Texans and Watson, it shouldn't be a guessing game when the time comes for Watson to show up for training camp. Agree. If Watson believes he'll be placed on paid leave, he'll definitely report to training camp. That would result in Watson receiving his full $10 million salary for 2021. If the Texans believe Watson will be placed on paid leave, the Texans possibly will trade him for whatever they can get, shifting the $10 million obligation to his new team. That won't happen. Mike Florio, that's off. There's no way that a team is going to give you what you deserve for Deshaun Watson when he's got all of this stuff hanging over his head.
Impossible.
It's impossible. When you don't know what the suspension is going to be, when you don't know what the criminal charges might be.
Would you do it, Mike? Would you do it? No.
Hell no.
Why do you think teams are going to do it?
If the Texans and Watson know he won't be placed on paid leave, the Texans could trade Watson for considerably more since his new team, possibly the Broncos, Dolphins, or Eagles, would know he'll be playing this season. I don't believe that either because he's going to be at some point, even though he's not on paid at the exempt list, he could be suspended. He could still be suspended.
Yeah.
I don't believe that either, Mike Florio.
The more I thought about the comments that Mike was using and that people picked up on, where Nick Caserio basically just did a standard Nick Caserio and then said, we're talking about making his decision closer to training camp. You know, that decision may just be what they're doing from a roster standpoint. I don't think that's probably what he meant. They're not going to, like, there are no decisions to make. The only decision to make is, are you just going to hang on to him for the rest of the year? Are you going to keep? But you could have already made that. That doesn't take training camp. He's not coming back.
There's no trade right now, Mike. There is none. You just can't trade him.
You can't manufacture Watson news.
ESPN
tried to also. They tried to manufacture Watson news yesterday. The same thing. And I guarantee you they took it off of a producer saw it on Pro Football Talk and said, hey, let's try to get some Watson in today. There's no Watson. There's still no Watson,
no,
boys and
nothing.
Girls. I don't care what they say.
Well, he is right, though, that the league needs to get off its butt.
That I agree
and
with.
And make a decision.
But that's not news. That's an opinion.
And it will be. He will be on the exempt list.
Right. That's an opinion, but he will be, yes.
He will be on the exempt list. And otherwise, you are really, really putting the screws to the Texans. And Deshaun, well, frankly, yeah, Deshaun Watson, because he'll have to decide not to show up, and then he'll start getting fined. Unless, you know what, the Texans might be going, hey, let Deshaun not show up. Let us get some of our money, recoup some of our money back from him. Because Deshaun is, we're going to pay him $10 million more after he's not going to show up, after we gave him $27 million. This is, Deshaun wins.
But you can't, but first of all, you canceled a mandatory that would have cost Deshaun some of his money. So that's on you. You canceled the mini camp, the 3 days. Deshaun would have been fine. You're the one who canceled it. So right now you don't have a valid reason for pulling money from him until he sits out.
No, that's what I'm saying. So they might say, we don't want him on the exempt list. We want him sitting out of camp so we can collect money from him.
Yeah, you're right. But more than likely, he's going to be on the exempt list because he's got pending issues.
But Antonio Brown did too. Antonio Brown was playing with pending issues for a year and a half over him.
Well,
now, he did get suspended.
He was suspended first.
Yes, right. He was suspended.
After his suspension.
The league needs to suspend Deshaun or they need to put him on the exempt list.
I don't think they can suspend him until they find out about. I don't think they want to suspend him and then have something pop in the criminal case and like, oh, God, we're going to have to double back and suspend him for longer here.
Well, that's true, too. So maybe so do something, though, league. You've done absolutely nothing. Again, you know what the XFL would have done? It's some action. The Rock would have taken some action by
now.
Yeah,
they would have said, play.
Well,
you, play. That's no. what the... If the
we don't want Deshaun in our
the league. XFL had a star the level of Deshaun Watson. What did he? What is he accused of? Well,
no,
whatever.
The XFL would never allow a player okay. like Deshaun Watson in their league.
Okay,
yeah.
You want to go through some of the list of players who have been in the XFL and go just look down some of their discretions and see if you are right on that.
There's some of them are guys who couldn't play in the NFL.
Who weren't? Yeah, the NFL wouldn't allow them to.
That's so, like,
did they
like,
have any pending
like saying,
charges? No.
That's like saying somebody at a Last Chance U, Independence Junior College, like, this guy would never have personality conflicts or issues. Like, no, it's loaded with it.
Yeah.
Loaded with it.
All right, we got a couple conspiracy theorists that we've got to get to here. Let's start with Tyler Glasnow on the other side. Tyler Glasnow. He is
pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah,
an injury.
Yeah, he's really, really good. And oh, by the way, there's a reason that he's injured right now, and it's because he's got a leg injury.
We'll find out why.
Well, yeah, we'll find out why he's injured when we come back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm not trying to blame anyone. I'm not trying to say, like, oh, this is all MLB's fault. Like, they got thrown into this situation, too. They're doing the best they possibly can to navigate around this. They're trying to make this fair for people. I understand that. But you can't – whether you want us to not use sticky stuff or not is fine. Fine. Do it in the offseason. Give us a chance to adjust to it. But I just threw 80-something, 70-whatever innings, and then you just told me I can't use anything in the middle of the year. I had to change everything I've been doing the entire season. Everything out of the window. I have to start doing something completely new. And then I'm telling you, I truly believe that's why I got hurt.
I truly believe.
I personally believe
that I was injured.
So it is a UCL, this is an arm problem.
This is a very serious.
It's an elbow thing.
Verlander, he's talking about it rehabbing. Yeah. So see if he can rehab instead of undergoing Tommy John.
He's gone for about a year and a half then, because he's going to try to rehab it, and then he's going to have to get surgery.
You make your decision quick. Well, this timeline's getting. Well, we were July with Verlander, and then Verlander waited forever to have the surgery. So he kind of screwed himself, or he would be back. It's a one-year recovery typically, but Verlander waited so long. If they wait too long with this recovery, but I get it. You're Tampa Bay. You're one of the best teams in baseball. Wouldn't you try to get everything you could out of Tyler Glasnow? The problem is you're going to lose him for this year, and like you mentioned, John, you're going to lose him for a big chunk of next year as well if he undergoes Tommy John surgery, which is likely.
Well, and now he's going to wait. So, and then he's going to find out, oh, I got to get the surgery, and then it's going to be, you might not see him until the 23 season. You just might not see Tyler Glasnow until the 23 season. And that's a big loss for the Rays are the best team in baseball. And for them to lose their this guy is really, really good. So this is a plus for the American League. It's a bad deal. There's no question that it's a bad deal, and it's unfortunate. But that's a big loss. You talk about injuries that are crippling to teams. That's
big loss.
That's a huge loss for the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, is it because he couldn't use Stickum? That he couldn't use spider tack or rosin?
Wait,
and
he
whatever?
Hurt his arm because he couldn't use substances?
I don't know. So
look, here's in all his comments. It's kind of a long. It's actually a very long form interview. He made mention of the fact that I will say that I actually agree with him on this one. To ask players to change is a little unorthodox. When you change the way things are, when you change rules in the middle of the season, but this is where it's like I can't feel bad for him. It's on the books. I get it. Technically, they're not changing the rules. realistically and practically, they are changing the rules on pitchers, saying you can't use your grip substance. Now, what happened, Tyler, and sorry, this came about because too many of your brethren out there were cheating. There's a difference between the rosin. I think there is a difference between the rosin and the sunscreen to get a better grip, and the guys who are using stuff to unnaturally alter spin rates. And by the way, the banging on the trash cans things, their success rate is much lower relative to, you have to decipher. All that has to take place in 2.5 seconds. The ability to decipher the signal, and then obviously catchers can change signals all the time. The ability to decipher, to relay to the person with the trash can, and then for the person hearing the trash can to mentally be able to pick it up and then hit. All in that time, it takes 2.5 seconds. These are guys being able to throw like that to every single batter if they want to. So this was a much bigger problem. The video stuff can be eliminated. The junk on the ball, Major League Baseball let that go for so long that this became a part of baseball, and it's cheating. I mean, it really is cheating. And sorry, there's too many cheaters. If you just did things with the rosin and the sun, hey, sorry, too many cheaters like Kershaw, like Gerrit Cole, too many of them are out there being so blatant, so over the top. We'd see videos, John, on that fans would pick up off of television.
Oh.
And you're like, oh my God, this is like spitting in the face of Major League Baseball.
Well, I guess there's, you know, it's baseball and unwritten rules. The sunscreen and rosin, I guess, was acceptable behavior. But when they started to get into the spider tech, and when they started to get, you know, the Angels clubhouse guy, who was putting together concoctions that were so much more than just rosin and sunscreen, so they could get a better grip on the ball. Listen, and where is that mud from? In Maine? Is it Maine or whatever state? I think it's up there. It's some in the Northeast that they rub the baseballs. The umpires rub the baseballs with before every game.
Yeah. It's the Mississippi mud, isn't it?
No, I think it's up in the Northeast. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, you know, that it's just not enough.
Mud rubbed on MLB baseball. I'll look at it right now. Baseball rubbing mud. You can find all this. It's a mixture of water and infield soil, but this method usually discolored the ball's surface. Other people have used shoe polish and tobacco juice. Oh, that sounds like something I want on a baseball for sure. Delaware.
It's from Delaware.
The Delaware River.
Maine, Delaware, it's the same thing.
The Delaware River.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Anyway, so...
it originates from the New Jersey side of the Delaware River.
Okay.
Wow.
So anyway, it's not enough. Apparently, it's not enough. And if you know what, they've got to come. And he's kind of right in a way. What are you doing, baseball? We are going on halfway through the season, and now you're legislating that nothing, when for years, forever,
yeah,
that you know, and even Major League Baseball said they looked into something that they could do to make the baseballs better. That you could grip it better, but not enhance your performance. And so baseball even knows that they have to do something with these baseballs that more than they're doing right now. Because first of all, a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, if I'm a hitter at the plate, I want to make sure that the guy knows where it's going. I want to make sure that he's got a good enough grip on it that I'm not in danger every time I step into the box. I would much prefer that he had a better grip on it and could control it better and take my chances with my batting average, as opposed to worrying about my own safety because he can't grip the ball.
Right.
So there is something that needs to be done halfway through the season. He's kind of right. You're going to mandate that there is absolutely nothing when we've been doing this forever, and it's been acceptable behavior, and now you're going to change it midway through.
It's been acceptable until, as was pointed out, your brethren got too flagrant.
Well, they did get flagrant. So then legislate, okay, sunscreen and rosin is acceptable.
But you can't do that till the end of the year.
Yeah, it's not even just that. I'm talking about flagrant as far as, hey, I'm just going to apply this on my glove in front of fans so they can film it. That's the flagrant stuff I'm talking about. Right. Like, baseball would like it to be a little secret that, hey, yeah, guys use it, but it's unwritten.
There's no secret. We see Kershaw's hat.
This is what I'm saying.
Pigs get fat and hogs get slaughtered.
Stop being so egregious with your cheating.
Baseball, but you have to have it somewhere. Where are you going to put it?
But if you have
who used to pick their butt all the time?
You can't go.
Besides the Germany
your
coach.
Hat can't be black at the very back of it. You can't have a Dodger blue hat and it's black in the back. Like, stop being so.
But you
got to
have it somewhere. Where are you going to put it?
Pigs get.
Remember who used to pick their butt and they had the stuff in there?
Greg Maddux had Vaseline in his ass and he would pick his. I'm sorry about that. The truth hurts you.
I know, but the kids.
The kids aren't going to anything.
The kids
maybe
are
they're going
to summer school.
Could be
remember?
Bible camp.
Those bad kids are going to summer
school.
Maybe
they're going to Bible camp.
Well, there's a chance, but now, I don't want to go to Bible camp anymore because I heard swear words.
If the bad kids are hearing that about Vaseline, they're not thinking it's for pitching. Like,
ooh.
What are we doing with the Vaseline, Peach? Yeah, the Vaseline's around his ass. That ain't for pitching.
Ooh.
That's what the bad kids
are. Try that in the minor
see, the,
kid,
the good kids don't even know what that means.
The good kids do stuff, too.
Good kids don't do stuff like that.
Okay.
Not on their way to Bible camp. Okay?
Bible kids are the worst.
No, Bible camps are the best.
Bible camp kids are the worst.
No, they're don't worry. The best kids. Is Monty going to go to a Bible camp? Yes.
The whole point of Bible camp is to fool your parents into thinking, I'm not like those other kids. Yes, you are. You're definitely like those other kids.
Stop lying. You're saying they're phonies is what
yes.
you're saying. That's terrible of you.
Get out of here, Young Life. That's one of those.
Yeah, Young Life.
Get out of here. Terrible.
Get out of here, Young Life.
When I was a kid,
Matthew
you guys didn't
says,
fool
I'm
me.
Dropping my kids off at First Baptist, and I got to hear this language?
Well, that's on land.
My kids got to hear this
sometimes
filth
truth
and
bombs,
flarn on their way to First
truth
Baptist?
Bombs will emanate.
I mean, the Bible had curse words in it or bad words. Then they have words for women in there like.
Yeah,
like,
that was a bad
take
then.
No order
then
from
those
woman.
Were. You know,
what do you mean those weren't bad then?
It wasn't bad words for then. It was just a description.
All right,
okay? That's all.
They said some ugly things.
They did say some ugly things. And you know who else is saying some ugly things? A Fox 26 reporter.
Well, maybe she's just telling the truth, John.
Well, we got to see. We got to see on the other side because there's a conspiracy going on around here, and she's going to expose it, and then she's not going to work again. That's what's going to happen. That's what's happening right now. We will talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.